From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The need for food, money, and shelter is greater now than it has been in recent years. That's echoed by countless people who work at food pantries, homeless shelters, and other organizations serving those in need. Today, we'll hear from just a few of the dozens of worthy causes who rely on community giving to help out those who need it most. Taking a drive or a stroll through the Rotary lights in La Crosse is a tradition for many families. But beyond visiting Santa and marveling at beautiful lights, community members donate thousands of food items to help stock the shelves of area pantries. I recently met with Rotary Lights President Pat Stevens and area families in Santa's new house.
Well, we go through almost 6,000 I Saw Santa buttons here during the time that he's here. So it does get a lot of traffic, especially as we get closer to the holiday on here. So we needed a better place for Santa. The old one was about 12 years old. It was not exactly leak-proof and had no insulation in it or anything. And so it was kind of roughing a little bit for Santa and the visitors. So we thought with it being so popular and so on that we'd redo Santa's house.
I'm Abraham and this is Katie and Isabel. We live in La Crosse.
Because
Santa, before we came in, that you wanted a big Christmas
star for Christmas.
A big Merry Christmas.
Yeah, big Merry Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Last year was our first year, and we absolutely loved him. It was one of the things, we're both actually medical residents in La Crosse, and it was one of the things when we were interviewing that we thought was so special because we come about that time. So, it's just beautiful, and it's something to bring the family together, and you know, what's more important than that?
Actually, our charter, our nonprofit status, is has a mission of feeding the hungry, and that's the lighting display is really secondary. It attracts people, it brings them down, it's a great time of the holiday season and so on, but the main purpose is to feed the hungry. And so over the years now, we've, from year 1995, our first year, we collected 13,000 items, and this year we hope to collect 250,000 items. And it really does help 12 to 13 food pantries and the Hunger Task Force in addition to that. So we do our job, and we've started now to collect 30 to 40,000 food items outside of the park. We have a lot of churches and schools and some neighborhood Christmas parties and stuff that collect food and get it properly placed in one of the pantries. So it's kind of nice to see that grow too. And in the years to come, I think that will continue to be a major player in the food pantries in the area on here.
What was your goal last year? Did you make the goal? And then is the 250,000 that you set for this year, is that higher than last year?
Last year was our best year ever in food collections at 226,000. And the only reason we're getting a little, I don't say greedy, but the ambitious, I guess would be the better word for it, is that this year, is the way the calendar falls, it's the most nights we can have with Rotary Lights. Very early Thanksgiving, and as a result of that, we have 39 full nights of operation. Last year we had 34, so with five more nights of collecting possibilities, we feel we can hit the higher mark.
My name's Deborah Kuvar, and we live in Chaseburg, and my son's name is Mitchell.
Hi!
We just moved here from Atlanta in July, so this is our first experience with the Rotary Lights, and they are beautiful, spectacular. We absolutely love it, and I love the fact that they're raising money and getting food for the hungry. I think that is, you know, wonderful.
What's your impression of the Rotary Lights?
Well, I really like the alien lights, and I like the sleigh that we're about to pass. And I like going to Santa Claus.
Beyond feeding the hungry, the Rotary Lights bring a lot of joy to the community. Can you talk about the importance of having them in the community from that standpoint?
Well, it's a great community builder. There's no question about it. We anticipate putting about 200,000 people through this. A lot of them go through multiple times, which is kind of nice as well. I think we've been so inclusive in involving so many people in the project that it really has become a community project. It does make you feel good because now we're into our 18th year and we're getting that next generation. So I can talk to people in the park that remembered coming here as children themselves, and now they're bringing their children down here, and it's really something that they all look forward to.
Pat Stevens is president of the Rotary Lights. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Some of the food collected at the Rotary Lights goes to the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse, which in turn provides food to numerous area agencies.
Okay, and then you have five dips.
Yep.
At the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse office, a group from Whitehall is picking up cases of bottled water, mayonnaise, and more bulk products so they can feed 150 families in their community. Executive Director Shelley Krause checks the items off a list connected to a clipboard.
Okay, and then you'll be back in for another load. All right.
This is one of 60 programs in four counties that Hunger Task Force of La Crosse serves. Every day, agencies come in and shop for whatever they need through whatever is available in the warehouse, dry goods, frozen foods, and fresh produce. Although Hunger Task Force is known as the food pantry's food pantry, Shelley Krause says they work with other organizations in the La Crosse area.
Anywhere from youth programs like the Boys and Girls Clubs, the YW teen program, to food pantries like Place of Grace, any food pantry that you can think of, we probably are serving them. To meal sites, Come for Supper has a meal weekly, Salvation Army has a meal daily, so those are some of our bigger programs.
Since you are the food pantry's food pantry, I know you're dealing a lot more with people administratively, but when you talk with different food pantries, and even when you are talking with different community members who maybe do need some help, what are you hearing about the greatest need right now?
The greatest need right now is to help keep our families fed, because what people are looking at now is, how do I pay my utility bill and feed my family at the same time? So, get those colder months, you're starting to think about those kinds of things. And if we can help with the food part, we can save their dollars for the energy part. So we'll have warm and full families this winter, hopefully.
When people come to you and say, Shelley Krause, what can I do to help people in the community? How can I help the Hunger Task Force? What is it that you need? Is it money? Is it food? Volunteer time?
It's all of the above. Food donations are what's going to keep us moving that food in and out. Cash donations, we can purchase things at a cheaper price than maybe you or I could go to the grocery store. But this time of year, your time is so valuable, because we do what it is that we do with very, very few staff. And so it's the volunteers that make all the difference, and we can't do what we do without them.
Do you see many people making New Year's resolutions maybe to volunteer their time more, or people who haven't thought about that yet, how would you appeal to them?
That's a really good idea. I haven't heard anybody yet, but I'm going to now start mentioning that a New Year's resolution should be to, get out and help. And whether it's at the Hunger Task Force, and we certainly need you, but to help anywhere. There are many meal sites that need people to help serve. We've got the agencies here picking up food today. They could probably use help with their distribution. So if you can help in any way, find something that works for you.
And how would you describe the spirit of giving within the Coulee region? Why is it important for people to give now? And then we can also talk about the importance of giving throughout the year, too.
Oh, right. I'm so glad that I have this position in this community, because we have a need. We alert the community, and they're there for us every time. It's the same again this year. And it's the Christmas season. It's a season of giving. So people are thinking about that more and more. And I'm just very grateful that people are thinking hungry people when they're thinking about giving. It's really just nice to have that need being met. And for right now, it is being met. And we encourage, keep those donations coming in, because you're making a difference.
Shelley Krause is the executive director of the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse, which helps stock the shelves of more than 60 food pantries in the area. She says beyond food, the agency does need toiletries, like soap or diapers, and they'll even take cleaning supplies. Since people can't use food stamps to purchase these items, Krause says the donations can be a major help for people who are struggling economically. Many of the Coulee region's food pantries work together. Take Neighbors for Neighbors in Toma, for example. Although it doesn't receive food from the Hunger Task Force, Neighbors for Neighbors will often provide excess food to the La Crosse organization. The story is common in the food pantry world. Organizers will do anything to make sure no food is wasted. Judy Deming is the Neighbor for Neighbor executive director. She says lately, they've been serving almost 500 households in eastern Monroe County. That's about 1,300 children and adults. Deming talks about some of the greatest needs people have when they walk through the food pantry's door.
Well, because of the job situation, people still are not getting the jobs that they need. the basic needs are food. So they've been coming in for food. Our numbers have continued to go up instead of down. And until, you know, there's a better job market out there, it's going to take a while before they won't need their basic things like food and shelter.
And is that who you're seeing for the most part, people who don't have jobs or maybe their budgets are stretched a little more thin?
It's a combination of all of that, because we serve a lot of seniors who are on fixed incomes, and they just don't have enough to make it from month to month, so coming here to the food pantry helps tide them over till they get their next check. We have young families coming in. We have middle-aged people coming in. It covers the whole gamut, and some of it's because of jobs. Some of it is just their income isn't high enough to have the food that they need for the table.
And what do you hear from people after they do collect the food or while they're collecting the food?
Overall gratitude. They, especially those coming for the first time, they don't know how much they're going to get, and they usually leave here with a grocery cart full of food. And a lot of that is perishable, but if they can prepare it and freeze it, it can last them a long time. We have a lot of tearful experiences because people are just so grateful that that we're here to help them.
I would imagine making that first step in going there for the first time might be hard for some people.
Yes, there's a pride factor. I've had some people recently come in and say, I've been laid off for a year. I guess I waited too long to come in and ask for help because, you know, they have bills that still continue on even though the income isn't coming in from their job. And if at least we can help them with the food part of it. And they can only come in once a month, and sometimes if they're really having issues, they can come in a second time if they need to.
Where does most of the food and money come from that goes to helping neighbor for neighbor?
We do get government commodities once a month, but for 2012, only about 5% of the food that we are giving out comes from the government commodities. So 95% comes from the community. And it's through food drives, it's through private donations, monetary donations, corporations, truck drivers donate food, Walmart Distribution donates a large amount of food. There's different grocery stores that donate bakery items like Bernstead's, Wholesome Bread. So all those things add up to have the food that we need. We have never had to turn anyone away. We always have enough food for everybody that comes through the door, and that's what's amazing about our community. Toma is just so wonderful about giving that we try to keep about a month's supply ahead if we can of food in the back storeroom so that as we restock for each day we're open, there's food on the shelf for them.
And then when people do come in with donations, I mean, do you prefer money? Are there certain types of foods that you need right now more than ever?
Well, we need everything. Right now, things are filling back in because we've had so many food drives. The end of the year is always a wonderful time to get the pantry stocked back up again, because after the first of the year, then food drives kind of go down a dip and dip a little bit again, and we don't get as much in. So, canned vegetables, canned fruits, the boxed items, canned meats, all of that shelf-stable stuff, we use that on a regular basis. Pastas, pancake mix, and syrup. Those things that can be made with a quick meal, because a lot of people coming in don't have always all the cooking appliances that they need. Some are just staying in a motel until they can find a better place to stay, and it's a microwave and a little under-the-counter refrigerator.
Judy, I'm wondering if you can talk about why it's important for people to give and just your thoughts on the spirit of giving, not only during the holiday season, but all year round.
You know, when you give, you always get so much more out of it just by helping people. It helps the person that you're giving to, but it makes you feel good too. And everybody giving a little bit adds up. People will come in with just a couple bags of food. Well, it's not very much. And I'll say, yes, it is. If everybody gives a little, it adds up to pallets of food in the back storeroom that get us through several months. And so I always want people to know that, they don't have to give 1,000 pounds of food. But if they give a little bit on a regular basis, it really adds up and goes a long way. We try to have challenges. We just finished with our harvest challenge. And if people know that their donation is going to be doubled instantly, they're more apt to give also. And that makes them feel good that they're helping out in that period of time when the pantry will get even double the money.
Judy Deming is the executive director of Neighbor for Neighbor Food Pantry in Toma. The anonymous donor she mentioned matched $15,000 last year and $12,000 this year for the Harvest Challenge. But Deming says, unfortunately, the donor's finances have changed and will not be able to match donations next year. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. If someone in La Crosse needs shelter at night or a warm place to sleep, there are not many options. The Salvation Army has beds for families and individuals who have nowhere else to turn. The other option is the La Crosse Warming Center, which is located in the basement of the First Baptist Church. There aren't any beds at the Warming Center, but that hasn't kept people away. Each day, lines form early outside its doors, people hoping to have a warm place to spend the night. Karen Becker is the executive assistant at Catholic Charities, which runs the Warming Center. I talked with her last month about a fundraising campaign that's underway called Homeless for the Holidays.
The community is phenomenal in the support with volunteers and meals and making sure that our guests are taken care of. However, there's always expenses that come along with that. So along with the La Crosse Warming Center, we also have our homeless shelter in Eau Claire, which is actually a shelter facility, the only one in its community for adult men and women. That offers 40 beds a night plus showers and laundry service. So with the two areas, we've kind of started this year as our first annual Homeless for the Holiday Drive, and it is a fundraising drive to support these organizations, and 100% of the donations do go to financing these operations, because even though we are very volunteer-based here in La Crosse, we still have the day-to-day expenses, heat. If we need supplies that we don't get donated, or different, you know, staffing positions, things like that. So it is open for 5 months, and we are hoping that people will support us with the Homeless for the Holiday Drive.
So are you hoping that people will think about this when it comes to giving in the holiday season?
Absolutely. We continue to see a demand for services for the homeless. We have, at the La Crosse Warming Center, been full a lot of our nights already. We can take up to 15 adult men and women per night. They do come in at about 9 o'clock at night, and they're there till 7 o'clock in the morning. It's not a sleeping facility. It's strictly there to just provide a safe, warm place.
Has it been at capacity?
Yes, we have been at our very first night that we opened on November 1st, we had 15 register. And it's been often, you know, most nights have been at 15. And we're finding a surprising amount of young people that are coming in. You know, we're still having some economic issues that are going on and people not being able to find jobs. One of the nice things about working with Catholic Charities with the La Crosse Warming Center is that we're putting people up for the night. And last year, as an example, we were able to kind of develop relationships with the people who were coming in the Warming Center. And every once in a while we would hear, you know, that someone was trying to learn how to set a budget, or they just didn't know how to get into an apartment, or they just needed that first month, that security deposit, and they were saving. And I worked with a couple last year that we were actually able to, right before the Christmas season, I had a couple big donors come in, and we were, with their help, I was able to match them with somebody at the Warming Center, get that security deposit in, and actually get them into an apartment before the holidays. Now, a lot of our guests who come in, might be ready for that. They might not be. We accept everybody, no matter what their hopes or ambitions are when they come in through our door. But it was a very rewarding experience last year to see this couple get into a place and then to be matched with a mentor in the community who could work with them through financial counseling, through one of our programs here at Catholic Charities, and kind of talk to them about what's your relationship with money? How do we get you on a budget? How do we make sure you stay in your apartment? You know, if that person who comes in through the homeless, one of our homeless centers, is ready to take that next step, we're there for them. Otherwise, it's very important that we continue to provide the very basic human needs for those in need in our community, people of all backgrounds. And so that's why we continue to do the work at the Warming Center.
Do you do anything differently at the Warming Center or the Sojourner House for the holidays or before the holidays, or is it sort of just same old, same old?
No, we actually, especially towards Christmas, here in La Crosse last year, we had some very generous donors step forward and offer. They bought gift cards to local coffee shops and stuff like that, so that every, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, and then also New Year's Eve and New Year's morning, we were able to give them gift cards to go get a special treat over at the local coffee shop, Mocha, across the street, and some fresh coffee. But we also constantly, Christmas is a time of giving. I mean, people are just so generous, and I may get phone calls saying, what can you use? And some of the things that we always look for are, you know, fresh socks, new or gently used men's boots. Seemed to go fairly quickly. And so, I mean, last year I had a gentleman who was a volunteer at the warming center walk in, and one of our guests at the time had a kind of shabby pair of jeans, and he asked, you know, what size do you wear? And he went out that next morning after he got off, and he went and bought our guest a brand new pair of jeans and brought them back and gave them to him.
Karen Becker is the executive assistant at Catholic Charities. I talked with her last month about the La Crosse Warming Center. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. While there are some people in the La Crosse area without a home, there are also animals with nowhere to go but an animal shelter. It's nap time for the cats at the Cooley Region Humane Society. While most kitties sleep in cages that are lined with green garland and red bows for the holidays, one little, short, gray-haired cat named Archie wakes up and immediately begins purring. Archie is just one of the many cats available for adoption at the Cooley Region Humane Society. The shelter also currently has rabbits, a rat, and of course, dogs. Development and marketing coordinator Liz Meal says the shelter's needs in the winter are the same as the rest of the year.
We're oftentimes looking for bleach, kitten food, litter, for cats that are coming in. So basically the things that we need are things that we need all year round.
The cold weather, or I guess as you were saying earlier, the lack of cold weather has almost had some sort of impact on the amount of cats coming in too?
Yeah, the mild winter that we had and the mild spring that we had last year caused us to see many more litters coming in. So we've had quite a few kittens coming in, and so that's caused us great need for a lot of kitten food and especially litter, because we do see anywhere between 60 to 100 cats here at every day at any time. So always lots of cats.
Are many people receptive to that? I know, you know, times are hard too for their human counterparts. So, I mean, are you finding enough families for the cats?
We always see, well, we see probably two cats for every one dog. We just had a really incredible adoption promotion this last weekend where we saw 45 animals go out the door. So really, really great for space right now. But I think we see a lot of people coming in for cats too. So just depending on what the family's looking for in a pet.
When people think about giving in the holiday season and beyond helping, as I said, humans, because there's a lot of people out there having a tough time getting food, getting shelter, heating, why think about their animal friends?
Well, they are always in need too. Just like people can't find shelter during cold winter months, there are tons of animals that can't find help as well. So, you know, there are so many ways to give to the Humane Society. You can give a donation, a monetary donation, those types of things helps. But if you're able to give any type of supplies like bleach, the cat litter that we talked about, or even like supplies for our office, paper, things like that are things that we need on a regular basis too. Or even volunteering your time. We need people to come in, socialize with our animals that come in. They, you know, they like to spend time with and get that interaction between people as well. So lots of different ways to help here as well.
So why do you think it's important for members of the La Crosse community to give and to help out, not only at the Humane Society, but throughout the community?
It makes you feel good to help your community. Your community gives back to you. It's great to give back to your community. And in our case, animals are a big part of our community. So, and adopting an animal makes you feel good, and there's a lot of rewards for having an animal in your home too. So kind of a big round circle of giving there.
You all don't necessarily encourage people to give animals as gifts for Christmas. I know you see a lot of commercials where you see puppies popping out of boxes with big red ribbons on their heads, but that's not necessarily the greatest way to go.
When we adopt animals out, we're looking for them to go to a forever home, so we do require that every family member meets the animals. Just because you can't surprise your family member at home with an animal doesn't mean that you can't make it a surprise. For example, just last week we had a mom and dad come in wanting to surprise their small children with a new kitten, and so what we did was we wrapped the cage with paper and a bow, and they came in and unwrapped their present, and inside was a kitten, and so they were able to meet the kitten, interact with it before it went out the doors, just to make sure that everyone in the family had a chance to make sure everyone got along before they were leaving. And it was still a really nice surprise for the girls too. So there are definitely ways around, you know, getting around surprising someone with an animal that they may not be prepared for.
Liz Meal is the Development and Marketing Director at the Cooley Region Humane Society. These are just a few of the dozens of worthy causes in Southwest Wisconsin that rely on support from the community. We wish we had time to explore each and every one of the groups working to make the region a better place. The La Crosse Tribune has also compiled a list of agencies in need of support through its 25 Days of Giving series that can be found each day in the paper and on its website. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.